You're listening to Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. This is Brian Taylor. I'm sitting in for Phil Williams today. He's on an anniversary trip with his wife, Charlene. We've had pretty good guests on today. We had Attorney General Steve Marshall in the first hour talking a little bit about his fight against the Biden vaccine mandates. The Alabama AG won a case yesterday in the Southern District of Georgia that put on ice President Biden's effort to require federal contractors to receive the vaccine for their employees to be vaccinated. And so now on three different fronts, the Biden vaccine mandates have been enjoined, at least for now. You've got the mandate that was imposed on federal contractors to have their employees vaccinated, the mandate that was required of all businesses, private businesses that employed more than 100 people, that's put on ice too. And so just not a good week, not a good run of events for the Biden administration. Of course, that's what happens when you flagrantly try to violate the law and the Constitution. And that's what the courts are for. And we've been talking a little bit about, we just talked to John Wall, the Alabama party chair, about what the Democrats are trying to do with packing the courts. That's an issue we haven't talked about in a while. But just yesterday, the Presidential Commission on the Supreme Court issued its report back to the president. You may recall this was a commission that Biden set up to advise him on how to, quote, improve or reform the court system, including the controversial issue of court packing. The commission actually did reach a decision on that. They didn't make a recommendation. In fact, the report says the commissioners themselves were strongly divided over the question of whether more seats should be added to the Supreme Court. And here's how this works. I mean, the Supreme Court exists as a constitutional creature. Of course, the judiciary is set up by the U.S. Constitution, but Congress has the authority to add and subtract the members of that court, essentially the number of justices that sit on that court. And so that's what the debate has been about, is whether or not the Congress should do that. There clearly is a strong majority of the Democratic Party would like to do that. And the reason they want to do it is because they can't win in the courts. What they're trying to do is, in many cases, is outside the bounds of the law. And I was listening to the oral arguments in the Dobbs case. The Dobbs case is the case out of Mississippi that the court heard a few days ago, took oral arguments on, that may reverse or overturn Roe v. Wade, the landmark decision that upheld or created this notion that there is a constitutional right to an abortion. Of course, there's not. The Constitution is silent on that. But Roe v. Wade determined that there would be. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the ins and outs of that case and this challenge in the 4 o'clock hour with Eric Johnston, who is a lawyer and runs the Southeast Alabama Law Institute. Excuse me, the Southeast Law Institute based here in Alabama. And he's had some experience in drafting some of this legislation that's designed to overturn Roe v. Wade, and he's following these issues. So if they're of interest to you, you'll definitely want to tune in to hear Eric at 4 o'clock. But before we get there, I want to just play one clip by Justice Sotomayor from these oral arguments this week. It's astonishing to me. Keep in mind, as you listen to this clip, what conservatives believe the role of the judiciary really is, and that's to interpret and apply the law as it's passed by Congress and signed by the president. Here's what Justice Sotomayor's primary concern is as the court determines whether or not to wade into overturning Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs case.
Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts? I don't see how it is possible. It's what
I'll tell you how it's not possible when members of the court from the bench are declaring an issue to be a political issue that the court therefore should not touch because it has strong feelings in the population, strong feelings on either side. When she says from the bench that any decision this court makes to review its prior decision in Roe v. Wade is a political decision, she is the one politicizing it. There's no doubt about it, and that's what she's trying to do. This wasn't an accident. This was deliberate. She's saying from the bench that if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, it will be viewed by the population as a political decision done by a bunch of conservatives on the court, and therefore the court should not do it. Never mind what the law says. Never mind what the Constitution says. She doesn't believe that judges are capable of a fair and impartial reading of the law and application of the law. She wanted to make it very clear. She announced from the bench that any decision that went counter to what she would decide is therefore a political decision, as if she doesn't herself have a political position on the issue. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd that a judge would from the bench question the impact, the political impact of the outcome of a decision, when the court's job is to take the law and the facts before it and review whether or not it's consistent with the Constitution. And obviously she would be very upset if the court were to overturn Roe v. Wade. And the reason she would be upset is because she's unapologetically pro-choice. That's no secret. That's her right to have that opinion. But as judges, I was baffled to hear both her and Breyer from the bench making this issue about whether or not a reversal or an overturning of Roe v. Wade was basically a threat to the existence of the Supreme Court, or a threat to the reputation of the judiciary. The Supreme Court throughout its history has ruled on highly controversial political issues. It's no secret. I mean, Justice Breyer at some point during the oral arguments said something to the effect of, "Hey, this Roe v. Wade's a watershed decision. It's been the law, quote the law, for over 50 years, and this court therefore shouldn't touch it because it's been on the books for 50 years. We've all been living with Roe. That's what we've all been operating under for 50 years. So we shouldn't touch Roe v. Wade." Well, if that's the standard, if that's the logic, you want to follow that logic to its end, then what do they think about Brown versus Board of Education? If you remember, if you know anything about Brown versus Board, it overturned the principle that had been in effect for 50 years that upheld separate but equal schools. Brown v. Board of Education was a landmark decision of itself precisely because it overruled a bad decision over 50 years earlier, Plessy v. Ferguson, where the court upheld the policy of separate but equal. And so, you know, where were these liberal justices in 1970? I don't remember exactly when Roe v. Wade was decided, but you didn't hear anybody then saying we can't decide the case. We can't find a right to abortion, a federal right to abortion in the federal constitution, because that would upset 200 years of jurisprudence, 200 years of state regulation of abortion. I mean, Roe v. Wade was an absolute overturning of 200 years of precedent. And so for them to come out now and say that it would be somehow political, that it would be unsustainable for the courts to adopt a new position, reversing or overturning Roe v. Wade, it just doesn't make logical sense. The court has done that a number of times in its history. Most well known is the Brown versus Board of decision, the Brown versus Board decision declaring that separate but equal was not correct, and that separate schools were necessarily unequal. But Brown v. Board is rightfully celebrated as a landmark decision, precisely for overturning a bad decision 50 years earlier. So maybe the maybe the maybe the judges will, they won't. They won't, they're not going to change their mind. We know where everybody stands on this issue because Justice Sotomayor admitted it from the bench when she declared that it was a political case. She basically declared that she had a political position and she wasn't going to vote counter to that political position, no matter what the evidence in the case or no matter what the law turned out to be. So that's what we've come to expect from liberals on the judiciary. President Biden had asked this commission to give him advice, recommendations on whether or not the Congress should increase the number of judges on the Supreme Court, because they can't win with the court that they have. So they figure they're just going to remake the court. That's dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. That's dangerous. I mean, imagine what that leads to. Does that mean every time that a new president is elected and appoints new justices, we're going to have a remaking of the court? That's exactly what the left wants. They want nothing short of the ability to manipulate the outcome of cases to achieve and attain their political and policy objectives, because they think they know what's right and what's best for the rest of the world. I said it earlier on the show, Dan Bongino and his show before this, he said, Republicans think Democrats are people with bad ideas, and Democrats think Republicans are bad people with ideas. And that sums it up. They will stop at nothing. The end justifies the means. There's nothing that is out of bounds for attaining those political objectives. And so we need to be watching what's happening in our courts, what kinds of judges are being nominated. I heard earlier today the nominee for comptroller has withdrawn from she grew up in the Soviet Union. Republicans have been accusing her of being a communist. She was Biden's nominee to run around our money system and oversee the free markets. And Republicans have successfully gotten her to withdraw her nomination because obviously we can't have somebody with a communist background overseeing our financial markets and our economic system. So, we've got victories here and there. Attorney General Marshall has accomplished success yesterday in Georgia with putting Biden's vaccine mandates on ice, and it's going to take strong conservatives across the country doing things like that, standing up and calling out the left for their nonsense, and making the case for conservative values and principles that this country was. That this country was founded on, this country was built on. Progressives, by their nature, want to toss those out. They're going to use the court system. They're going to use the administrative bureaucracy. They're going to do whatever they can to attack everything that that made this country great. And that's the way I see it. Would love to have your calls. Feel free to call in. The number is 1-866-494-WVNN. That's 1-866-494-9866. We'll be back right after this with Eric Johnston from the Southeast Law Institute on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.